This is a Times Online podcast.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Welcome to issue 7 of The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world. Week beginning Monday the 26th of November with me, Andy Zaltzman, in London, and in New York, John Oliver.
Hello, world.
I should add that here in London I am fresh from the dental surgery, which has left me with a mouth that is A, numb, and B, slightly wounded after an overambitious sandwich.
Come on, Andy. It's a proud British tradition of numb upper lip. It's what made us great. King Harold didn't complain when he had an arrow shot in his eye at Hastings. He carried on fighting. That's a fact.
It is a fact, although he did die. So let's hope I make it to the end of the podcast.
Also, I think you might have surprised quite a few American listeners by saying that you, as a British person, went to the dentist.
I can back up that surprise by saying it was the first time I've been since I was 14. So all your preconceptions are correct.
There you go. Racial stereotype confirmed.
Later in today's Bugle, we will be announcing the funeral arrangements for British football and heralding peace in the Middle East, albeit the kind of peace that Neville Chamberlain might have got a bit excited about. As always, with any newspaper, some sections go straight in the bin. This week, the Euro 2008 pullout. Looking forward to England and Scotland's glorious march towards triumph in Switzerland and Austria. That is very much in the bin in every sense of the world. Also in the bin, the gardening section features on where now for the gnome industry and what is a hydrangea. And also a free pair of audio binoculars. They're straight in the bin because they simply don't work.
Top story this week, massive potential fraud.
Yep, the British government has lost 25 million British people in the post. The people, including all of Britain's children, may never be seen again. Or they may simply turn up down the back of a filing cabinet somewhere, but that's a lot of people for the government to lose.
So essentially, the customs department in Britain sent from Newcastle to London the records of 25 million child benefit recipients, which included people's names, addresses, national insurance number, date of birth and bank details. But let's try and get this in perspective, Andy, before the panic gets too far. When do you actually use any of those things?
Well, you don't, and you don't really need to. But the problem is, John, it's tapped into the deep-seated British fear. Probably the thing we fear most here in Britain, and that is people knowing small bits of basic information about us. It's really what keeps us awake at night.
We're a private people, and we'd like it to be kept that way.
It's what we fought the war for, so that our addresses remained our own private business. When I was born and where I live is no one's business but mine, and possibly my wife's and child's. They've also lost their address and dates of birth, so no birthdays in the Zaltzman household anymore. They've all gone missing in the post. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Are you one of the people, then, who is potentially going to be defrauded?
I am. I basically no longer exist in an official capacity. HM Revenue and Customs cleverly decided to send this highly sensitive data in unregistered mail in order to save a couple of quid. In their defence, I guess they could say that by sending it registered post and paying a bit extra, that one might have drawn attention to it. What are they trying to hide by paying extra for this postage? So maybe the best way to do it is not to record it and just hope for the best. So once again, cutting corners has not entirely worked. Generally, it doesn't work. There's a lot of examples through history where cost cutting has backfired. For example, not equipping the army in Iraq has backfired in certain cases. King Harold, again, featuring for the second time in this week's podcast, didn't invest in basic safety goggles.
Now, the police are asking the public to keep an eye out for any postmen walking around with diamond-encrusted bags riding mink bicycles. At the moment, none have been reported. And Gordon Brown has said that he profoundly regrets that this has happened. So his regret is profound, Andy.
I mean, that's the kind of regret you want from your Prime Minister in an occasion like this. It's got to be profound. It's a superficial regret that Tony Blair was such a master of that really annoyed people.
Well, that's what separates them out, yeah, by their lip service to apologies. Gordon Brown's is profound, whereas Blair's was, at best, passing.
But I'm not sure that it's right to blame the Prime Minister for this, or even the Chancellor of the Exchequer, or even the low-ranked staff member who perpetrated this terrible error. Let's not forget, this is HM Revenue and Customs. That's Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. And if she wants to have her name attached to this department, maybe it's about time the Queen fronted up.
Steady on.
Held her hand up and said, yeah, this is my fault. It's my department. I'm sorry. I resign. I'm going to cut my own head off. That's what she should say now. And, you know, she wouldn't have to go through with it, but it would just be a gesture that the British public would appreciate.
There was a time in our nation's history, Andy, when you'd have gone straight to the tower for saying that, for even thinking it. Now, you might think that this would make the British government think twice about ramming ID cards down the throats of the British public, but if they did think twice, then they certainly immediately thought a third time and opted to pinch the public's nose to get better access for throat ramming. ID cards are on their way. That's what I'm trying to say. But San Francisco has had a story regarding ID cards this week. San Francisco's ID cards will show name, birth date and photo, but not gender. This is after a transgender group successfully lobbied for its exclusion. Although, I reiterate, it will carry a photo, which is often the clear giveaway. And if not that, then you've always got the fallback of the handshake. That's a classic giveaway.
I guess with ID cards in Britain, we've got to examine now whether, like the world's most committed fish impersonator, they are dead in the water. Or are they, like oxygen and gravity, absolutely necessary to the safety of the nation? Now, I know that politics, John, is all about spending vast amounts of money being seen to be doing stuff, and that's what the ID cards are really all about. And this is all financed by cutting back spending on actually doing anything. But this does seem a bit silly. I'm hoping a compromise can be reached on ID cards, whereby only terrorists and benefit fraudsters have to carry ID cards, because those are the people they're really aimed at. So if only they have to carry them, I think everyone will be happy.
But if we follow this San Francisco example, Andy, then that might be a way of rooting out terrorists, because, you know, ID card, that is a concern, that ID cards will be misused by terrorists. And you would really find a terrorist with the courage of his conviction. Is a terrorist willing to go through gender realignment? Are they that angry with the West? Would Mohammed Atta have been willing to become Betty Atta to blow up the World Trade Center? Or did he actually have his limits? I'm extra careful about security nowadays, Andy, and I manage to do this by... I shred everything. I shred the clothes I've worn at the end of each day, and I recommend that listeners do the same. Shred everything you come into contact with. I shred the leftovers from every meal I eat. It's messy, but it's safe.
We do have some advice here at the Bugle if you are particularly concerned about your personal details and how to remain secure. You can, if you want, send all your bank details to the Bugle and we will look after them for you. Do not forget to include your mother's maiden names. But if you're not happy with that, there are a number of ways you can keep yourself safe. Firstly, change your password at least once an hour. Or alternatively, just try to remember to move house at least once a week.
Now, even telling jokes in this non-secure modern format is dangerous, so to prevent this following joke from being stolen, we have shredded it and encrypted it. Here is the joke.
Well, me maps have touched to it earlier on, before I get settled with that.
Now, in a couple of years, some 12-year-old Chinese boy will probably crack that code, but by that point, hopefully the joke will have become obsolete.
And if you do manage to decipher that joke, do send it in to the Bugle, and if you are correct, you will win a laugh. Other news now, and the American government has proclaimed a phenomenal drop in the violence in Iraq. The violence is now dropping so fast that we can take even less notice of the ongoing violence without feeling too bad about ourselves.
You need to remember, there can only be a phenomenal drop in violence if you've instigated phenomenal violence somewhere. Jack Keane, the former army general, said, "When you understand you are dealing with the complexity of a counterinsurgency operation which can take years to resolve, to have this dramatic a success in a short period of time, it's unprecedented." But hold on, it has taken years. And it isn't resolved. That's the problem. They say things with such confidence, for a split second, you get taken in by it before saying, oh, wow. For a split second, you get taken in by it. Wow. I suppose that is impressive. Hold on. None of what you said was true. Ah, yes. But if it was, then it would have been. Wow. I suppose you're right there. Hold on. No, that was completely meaningless.
Well, you can't expect meaningfulness from these people, John. That's not their job. And I think Bush has very much silenced his critics, because, as you say, without allowing the violence to escalate, we would never now be celebrating the number of Iraqi civilian deaths per month, sinking back down to a barely noticeable 1,200. And let's not forget about all the Iraqi civilians that have been born since the troop surge as well. So, if anything, we're probably in credit.
There are also concerns that these figures are emitting Sunni-on-Sunni violence and Sunni-on-Shia violence, i.e. emitting the concept of a civil war. So, violence only exists when US troops are involved, and in that case, the English Civil War had zero casualties, which is an amazing statistic. A civil war with no violence, we should be proud of that, Andy. Also in the news, ex-White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan this week revealed that the President was involved in misinforming the public over the leaking of former CIA agent Valerie Plame's name. Peter Osnos, connected to Mr. McClellan's upcoming book publishing, was suggested that Mr. Bush had not deliberately lied. He said he told him something that wasn't true, but the President didn't know it wasn't true. The President told him what he thought to be the case. So the White House does seem now to be using the President's incompetence as its sole defence. Look, this man does not have the capacity to know whether things he thinks are true or false. You voted for him, technically it's your fault. And current White House Press Secretary Dana Perino said the President has not and would not ask his spokespeople to pass on false information, before going on to say, but when you think about it, I would say that. Maybe I'm lying now. Or maybe it's the double bluff and I'm actually telling the truth. She then made a strange gesture with her hands, threw two smoke bombs onto the floor and disappeared. More fantastically entertaining Hugo Chavez news. You might remember that a couple of weeks ago, the King of Spain, Juan Carlos, told Hugo Chavez to shut up. Well, this remark has now become a smash hit ringtone in Spain, netting the companies who've been selling it $2.2 million. They've also been selling T-shirts and mugs. And all current monarchs are thought to have spotted the gold mine they are unwittingly sitting on. Emperor Akihito of Japan released a press release telling Robert Mugabe to sit and swivel. Prince Albert II of Monaco interrupted a speech by Bill Gates to heckle, "Why don't you tell someone who gives a shit?" And the Queen told the whole of Britain to go f*** themselves.
The ringtone market has expanded into historical insults as well. You can now get a ringtone of Roosevelt calling Stalin a dick splash under his breath at the Yalta Conference in 1945. And also Kofi Annan going ballistic in the UN canteen after being given green curry instead of red curry. He can be clearly heard saying the words, "What is this, liquidised frog?"
Well, that's really unreasonable of Kofi Annan, because he asked for a Thai curry and he got one. He will have known deep down that green curry is probably the more popular of the two Thai curries.
You know, if it was liquidised frog, it wouldn't be green, it wouldn't be red. So he was flawed on a number of levels there.
In that area, as in so many others, Kofi Annan was way off base. The other major news story this week is the announcement that the US will be hosting the Middle East meeting. It's a meeting, not a conference. That word has been chosen to reduce expectations. But could you reduce expectations any further without going full circle and becoming a bit optimistic?
Do they need to reduce those expectations, John? Because presumably expectations were not sky high amongst anyone who's been following this story for any of the last 6,000 years.
That is correct. Expectations really couldn't be lower. The meeting aims to build international support for the idea of a Palestinian state, which is aiming pretty low, as all sides already agree on that principle. But still, achievable goals. That is the important thing, Andy. Get a success under your belt early on. Neither side likes bacon. Get them talking about that for a while too. The second session is going to be, let's think of something nice to say about the other person. Small steps.
It's a one-day event, this meeting. Is it not even a summit, John? They're not even let it be a summit, just a meeting.
It's a meeting.
I think it's a chinwag. It's the Middle East chinwag.
That would probably be a more accurate term. Welcome, delegates, to the Middle East chinwag.
It's a one-day event, this. Now, looking at the state of the Middle East and the intractable historical problems dating back many thousands of years related to it, is one day enough to sort it all out? I mean, I take a couple of days to decide what to have for breakfast, by which time the moment has often passed. So I'm just not sure that they can fix the Middle East in a single day.
That's pessimistic. This is not really a glass half full or half empty situation. This is two sides squabbling over shards of what used to be a glass, which are scattered all over the floor. Critics say that this is little more than a photo opportunity. But it's much more than that, Andy. It's many photo opportunities. And there are rumours going around they're even going to set up one photo opportunity, which is a painting of people shaking hands with two holes cut where their head should be, so the delegates can poke their heads through and be seen to be agreeing without actually having to do so. It's the thought that counts. Saudi Arabia have announced that they will be intending, even though they have no diplomatic relations with Israel. Foreign Minister Prince Saeed Al-Faisal said he would go to the Maryland summit, but there will be no theatrical show with Israeli officials, which quenches the rumours that they were going to stage a joint production of Annie. And that's a shame.
That is a shame. Although they are still participating in the table tennis round robin, I think, so it's not all doom and gloom. So, Bugle listeners, if you have any solutions for the Middle East, do let us know, thebugle@timesonline.co.uk, and if any of them are any good, we will forward them on to the Middle East itself, and you could be a Nobel Prize winner by the end of next year.
Now, Bugle listeners, it is time for the long-awaited return of the Ask an American section. 3 weeks ago, he was ill. 2 weeks ago, he was moving house. Last week, he had left for Thanksgiving. This week, he is here! So, great to have you here in the studio.
Yeah, hey, how's everybody doing?
You're not actually in the studio, are you?
No, I'm not in the studio. I'm actually, I'm doing a little something we in America call family time. I don't know how you boys do it, where you're from. But during a holiday, it's important as Thanksgiving, which everyone knows is the world's most important holiday.
Isn't Thanksgiving the tradition which dates back to when the Native Americans first said thank you for their smallpox-laden blankets?
I believe you're referring to rumors in American history about what we did to the Indians. And
rumors?
I want to just clarify something to the world very quickly. The Indians are fine, and they take plenty of my quarters every weekend when I'm at their casinos.
They're far from fine, and they are depleted in number.
Well, yeah, depleted in number, but you know what? They're doing okay. Trust me. Have you been to Mohegan Sun? It is beautiful. There's a casino. There's like a waterfall. There's a ton of restaurants. I think they're doing okay. I think that those movies and all those things have kind of built up a little bit of a reputation that we did something wrong. And I want to clarify, they're doing fine.
Even if the numbers are down, surely it's quality, not quantity, that counts. And I mean, just look at the Vatican. Very small country, population of just a few hundred. But they've had more popes than any other country in the world.
What Thanksgiving really is and become in this country, and I think it's great, is preparation for Christmas, which is another great holiday. I know myself, I was up today at 4 a.m. at JCPenney, hitting those sales. And when I get up that early, a lot of people say, how do you do it? How do you wake up that early to go shopping? And I think, what would Jesus do? And I know he would, because think about it. I'm preparing for his holiday. And let's be honest, I don't think Jesus would be scared of a sale. I think he'd be smart enough to know you want to get the deal when you get the deal.
Jesus loved a bargain, as was proven by his first example of the 5,000-for-1 deal regarding loaves and fishes.
And don't forget, let's be honest, Jesus was born a Jew. He knew a deal.
Let's get straight down to asking the questions that have been flooding in. Andy, do you want to kick off?
I have a question here from Renton Wall, who asks, has God blessed America yet? If not, is he ever going to? You keep asking him to. What's the hold-up?
Obviously, Wenton Wells, probably not from the United States, so has no clue about how much God blesses and continues to bless America every day. And if I could point out a few things, first of all, look at the size of our country. It's freaking huge.
Does that not mean God blesses Russia more than America? And in fact, it blesses Canada even more, because Canada's bigger than America, but with fewer people.
The only reason Canada's that big is because we have not decided to stretch north just yet. Because it's not appealing to us. We went west because we knew the weather would be better out there, okay? We knew we needed a coast. We knew we needed people suntan. But we're not going to go. What's the point? Really, what's the point of going into Canada? What's the point? I mean, at some point, we'll run out of oil, you know, or trees or something. We'll have to head up there. But right now, we're fine. But we're perfectly symmetrical. We're wide. We're tall enough. We're a perfectly shaped country.
Symmetrical? That's one hell of a claim. Charles Frederick asks, where exactly in England are you from?
Ooh, that's a really good question, Charles. And let me tell you a little something about where I'm from, okay? I'm from a little place called New Jersey. And you might have a Jersey in England, but I'm from the new one, okay? Which is obviously the better one because it's up to date and modernized. And I think I addressed this the first time I was on. I'm not really quite sure the need to go to a place like England. Well, we've got all great stuff here. We've got everything we need right here. Do you've been to an IMAX theater in Bayonne, New Jersey. I don't think you know about about what the world has to offer. Beowulf in 3D, check it out.
This is from Maximilian Hermeneutics. He asks, chicken or ribs?
You know what, Max, that's a good question. And I'm going to tell you, and this isn't a truly American answer, chicken or ribs, the answer is always both. It's called a combo platter, all right? And while you're at it, throw some shrimp on there, too. Because unless I'm eating three different types of meat, I'm really not full.
You've got to have a balanced diet.
Yeah, a balanced diet, exactly. I like things in threes. I want three appetizers. Maybe I want jalapeno poppers, maybe I want potato skins, and maybe I want some chicken fingers.
Of course, the well-known fingered chicken. I noticed just a couple of days ago that your, and I guess the world's president, he pardoned two turkeys for Thanksgiving at the White House. Is this a regular tradition?
Oh, it's a regular tradition. It represents the wide range of personalities and traditions this country can have. Because while the president's pardoning two turkeys on the front lawn, we're slaughtering many more all across the country simultaneously.
Apparently the turkeys are being flown to Disneyland as well to take part in a Thanksgiving parade.
Yeah.
Would they not have preferred death?
Disneyland to death, you always pick death. But if you go to Disney World, which is in Orlando, I'm going to pick Disney World every time. Yeah.
Where is Disney World superior to Disneyland?
Oh, in so many ways. First of all, Disney World, you got Epcot Center. That's part of the world down there. And again, talking about not needing to travel, you go to Epcot Center, you can go to Italy, Japan, Israel, everywhere in one day. When I was in Epcot Center, I had lunch in Japan, and I had a snack in Italy, and I wrapped up a nice dinner in Greece, all in one day.
A nice dinner in Greece?
Yeah.
You've done pretty well to get that.
Is Israel really part of the Epcot Center? Is there an Israel there?
I know there were a lot of Jewish people there.
Yeah.
Because it is in Florida.
I can clarify this. I can confirm that God did promise some of the Epcot Center to the Jews.
We were just talking about the U.S. hosting the Middle East Summit. How do you feel as an American about that?
Of course. Where are they going to go? You know, I mean, obviously they need a place that's comfortable. We got the biggest cars. We got the biggest hotel rooms. You want to show these people what we're about. Look, there's a very simple philosophy here. If you want the world to understand us, let them come here and see what it's all about. It's very difficult to come here and sit down in a Lincoln Town car and say, this country is not about great things. You come here, you have maybe you go out to, you know, Applebee's, and you have one of them Asian chicken salads. Or so you're not going to leave here disappointed.
Thank you very much for joining us, American.
And if any of our listeners have any more questions for the American for future weeks, do email them to thebugle@timesonline.co.uk. Now, the listeners' letters sections, or more likely emails. Unfortunately, due to the identity theft crisis in Britain, we can't read any of your emails out, because by giving your names away, we would leave you open as Bugle listeners to identity theft. So we can't do that. We will try and read some next week, but we might have to encrypt your names and words. But do keep sending them in to thebugle@timesonline.co.uk. Sport now, and English football is dead again. We thought it was still alive despite the Hungarian victory at Wembley in 1953, but it's been proved on Wednesday, when Croatia beat England 3-2, that English football is truly dead. And England have not qualified for the Euro Championships next summer. And this could have serious financial implications for the tournament, also for the brewing industry in Britain, because not as many people are going to go to pubs. Bad news for the flag industry.
That's going to get hit hard.
I think the time has come to ask, John, given this huge adverse economic impact of England not qualifying, surely the time has come for the participants in the international competitions to be ascribed by fairer means than just playing football. It should be done by financial clout. And, you know, we have to look at the bottom line here. Football is a business now, and just because England technically didn't qualify doesn't mean they shouldn't be there, because the tournament deserves the money that England would bring. It works in the club game. Why not in the international game as well? Who do you blame, John, for England not getting through?
Well, I blame the hand of fate, which has never been kind to England.
I'd blame America, due to them inventing American football, which led, of course, to the NFL game at Wembley, which really ruined the pitch, and it meant that England's slick passing game was not as effective as Croatia's lump it and hope game, which really was very unlucky for England.
I would blame the French.
On what grounds?
Ah, just cannot stand the French, Andy.
Just outright smart casual racism. I was at the game on Wednesday, and there was some quite impressive booing by the England fans, particularly at the end of the first half when England were 2-0 down. And then they greeted England for the second half, the best fans in the world, England fans, by booing them again when they came out, just in case they'd forgotten the massive boo at the end of the first half. I think the time has come now for the Bugle to do a commemorative boo in memory of England's shattered dreams and also those of Scotland, Northern Ireland and the bit down there. Is that the one down the M4?
Wales is the other one. Wales.
So there will now follow a one-minute boo for all the failed football teams of the United Kingdom.
Let us stand together, bow our heads, and boo. Boo!
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 Rubbish!
Boo! Boo!
Shame on you!
Boo!
Boo!
Shame on you! Boo! 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 Silly money! You paid silly
You're
money!
You're not fit
Boo.
To wear the shirt!
Boo!
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 Boo.
You're a disgrace to the Queen! Boo! All teams, that
Even
applies
you,
to...
Scotland!
Boo.
Boo!
Boo!
I didn't fight in the war so you can play football like that!
That was impeccably observed. My favourite quote from the Euro 2008 aftermath was from Nigel Worthington, the manager of Northern Ireland, who said, "We pull together, and that's what this country is all about." No, it isn't, Nigel. That is the last thing that Northern Ireland is about. In fact, it's about the opposite of that, the exact opposite. That country is about tearing itself apart. Other sports news, the United States Bridge Federation has dropped its effort to punish six members of the Women's Championship Bridge team for holding up a sign saying, "We did not vote for Bush," at an awards ceremony in Shanghai. Thank goodness for that. The Bridge Federation had threatened the players with a year-long ban from international competition, followed by a one-year probation. It also wanted them to perform 200 hours of community service and sign a statement pointing out which member had come up with the idea for the sign. That is aggressive punishment from the Bridge Federation, but actually it's quite restrained because they are notoriously tough enforcers. They killed a woman last year for playing an illegal card. They ate her.
Publicly.
They publicly ate her.
But do you think, John, that George Bush, who's been under so much pressure ever since his birth, really, can recover from the women's US bridge team criticising him in this way? Surely this is the last thing that he needs. You know, kids seeing these women bridge players are going to think, well, they're pretty cool. Maybe Bush is bad.
Well, you know what they say. Lose the bridge team, lose your grip on power. Charles I lost the bridge team. We all know what happened to him. Well, actually saying we all know, Americans may not know. Charles I had his head cut off.
Americans and anyone who's been to a British school in the last 30 years probably won't know. A quick result. The most idiotic way to lose an obscenely lucrative job. It's gone to Michael Vick for participating in an illegal dogfighting ring. Well done, Michael. A convincing victory. And now, it's your favourite part of the show, the Bugle's unique audio cryptic crosswords. Each week, we give you a different cryptic clue for you to take away and think about. This week, it's 24 across. You have no letters for this, even if you've got all the other ones right. You've just had a look down towards the bottom of the crossword and thought, I fancy having a go at 24 across. And the clue is this, it's seven letters long. Virginia met a large mammal. Get out of here! And it's seven letters long, so... A clue that touches on the scepticism of and jealousy of people who hear that someone else has done something more interesting than them. That's the story behind that little clue. And now the Bugle forecast this week, the season's forecast, who predicts that in the Northern Hemisphere, autumn will turn into winter.
And in the Southern Hemisphere, spring is likely to turn into summer.
So that's it from the Bugle this week. A quick word to say welcome to the world, Little Monty. And next week, we will be looking at genetic science. Does it really exist? And if so, why?
So, until next week, Andy, congratulations on your piece of dentistry, the first in 20 years?
nearly 20 years.
And you feel it was a success?
Painful, partial success.
And how do you feel about scheduling a dentist appointment just before a recording?
When you say just before, it was scheduled some 3.5 hours before, then began 45 minutes late, mm-hmm. and I was told the anaesthetic would wear off in 2 hours, and very much took a bit longer than that. But your point stands. It was foolish. I regret it.
This does mean that you've performed this episode of The Bugle on performance debilitating drugs, which is illegal under the terms of international podcastery.
So this bugle does not count.
Correct.
Bye.
Goodbye.
This is a Times Online podcast. For more podcasts, go to timesonline.co.uk/podcasts.